Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 25. In this installment, Yogi is still enjoying the upstairs rest and life in the Baha'i home. Soon lunch arrived upon a thali with round katoris, matching steel of dal, pickle, puffed up roti, his simple solo bedtop meal. Eating in silence, food can sing. Their village fare was far more plain, overcooked upon a gas ring with no chili to charge the brain. Mostly he had been chief cook, faking curries without skill, dull to the tongue, plain to the look, with gluey rice just eat to fill. Mrs. Barhai knew her art, knowing spices that excite. It gave his stomach a fresh start. He ate it at the speed of light. The wail of a house was first to call Yogi for satsang. Some district belly of works, who ensures nothing will happen without eating his weekly hafta, a fat wad of hundreds stapled. Impresario Barhai gave White Yogi a makeover. Elegant cream, quilt shoulders, some silk to snake the neck with. Chauhan lugged the guitar case, grey and sleek as a dolphin, nosing past people waiting seated on white linen. A tabla player came with the entourage of Yogi Guitarfish, sitting to tune both treble and bass, then dived down under. Yogi strummed and sang in a scale pelagic and solemn. Ooh. Next day, it was a house behind the college. Mrs. Malhotra greeted at the door. The satsang started in her living room. Yogi sang his mishmash nonsense chant based on Sanskrit names for baby Krishna.
Gopala, Gopala, Devaki Nandana Gopala, la 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 la, Gopala la, la 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 la, go go very far.
No one said a word and clapped along. He was a foreigner. He went unquestioned. After they dropped rupees at his feet that Barhai later grabbed. Then on to the next, another home of Mrs. Middle Class. Barhai sold the emperor's new clothes till day and nightly satsangs were the rage. Wealth and status tasted the first cream and lapped it up, meowing to the neighbours. Fame makes rings that spread across a town. All wanted to touch the robed and shoeless saint, gracing divans and nibbling their pakoras. Some even took their leavings as prashad. Yogi's azure eyes played their foreign part. He came and sat and smiled and sang, just glad that funds would flow back to the school. For most, he was every centimetre holy. While Barhai hid his Cheshire pleasure smirk. S.P. Agarwal, a high-ranking cop, invited Yogi inside. Aye, sir. Someone was waving a tray with burning ghee lamp, while others avalanched him with their ropes of cream and crimson flower-headed garlands. Yogi sang, then tried some smatter of Hindi. Then Agarwal came half-sobbing, Yogiji, my daughter, is having bad pneumonia. Please, you come to the hospital and bless her. Yogi felt awkward and glanced across to Barhai, who simply said, Certainly, Agarwal Sahib. Approval murmured through the gathering like wings of fluttering pigeons in a coop. Thus Yogi was driven to the medical centre. As soon as passing through the swing-bang door because Yogi did not want to be there. Fennel pinched his nose, flooding him with childhood's asthma stints that gasped in hospital. But he could not say, as Agarwal charged ahead, his feverish 3-year-old and fraught wife were in the children's ward. He implored. Nurse Whitecap nodded to Dr. Whitecoat, glancing at White Yogi, practitioners of priestcraft, different schools. Doctor says, go in, Nurse Whitecap said. She is in Jesus' hands. An Indian Christian. Barhai steered Yogi through the breezy porthole doors, and the phenol odour made him retch again. Bless my little baby, the mother said, bobbing to touch his feet. But Yogi felt fraudulent as that day beside the Ganges when a villager humbly kneeled for blessing as if he was a meditating sadhu. Belief in holiness, he hoped, would be enough, not in him, and prayed to God to save her. He felt it wrong, but touched the fontanelle. The baby murmured, surprising him. Was this gurgle proof he was a conduit? Please, Nurse Whitecap said, she must be resting now. The khaki superintendent was overcome and thrust a wad of notes in Barhai's hand. Within one day, the Agarwal baby lungs were suddenly clear of noctilucous blotches. Whitecoat blinked. Nurse Whitecap said, praise Jesus. No phosphor specks shined in the x-ray dark. But I went to Yogi. The God has blessed you. Look, I'm glad that she has pulled through, but she was lucky, Barhai. Why do you doubt? You may have healing hands and God knows only. Yogi listened. The idea of having a gift was pleasing vanity, although the ego shrugged. If you are praying for the people with a pure heart, what is wrong in it? The God bestows. Word spread fast of Yogi, the singing saint with the healer's touch. Barhai's phone kept ringing while Chauhan turned secretary. Calls for home satsangs went ballistic, so they invented the 15-minute stop. Yogi did his job, listening to requests for better health, jobs, or having a son. Barhai advised to nod and smile and touch bowed lady heads or pat the backs of men. With the wish stream came the flow of cash. It was clear. Transaction, blessings for money. Embarrassed first, Yogi then rationalized how Barhai was collecting for the school and kept aloof from any money handling. The monsoon rains kept the campaign going, short bursts of cold shifting to rising steam. Overly busy, Yogi neglected Margaret and wondered if she was coping in the village. He thought to write and ask Barhai to send it somehow. The roads were still deep ruts of mud. Of course, said Barhai with all confidence, salving Yogi's conscience on the surface. He missed her badly, thinking of her at night, now a past life friend. With thoughts disturbed, his head became a guilty chat room, so drew a Gita card for calm. Divine descent, the avatar call coming from age to age. When wickedness consumes the ways of humankind, I descend to end dystopia with Dharma saving the pious. The card evoked discord, apocalypse, a dynasty's royal end of noble days. Krishna, the eighth avatar from Vishnu, walks the knife edge, copper age, and iron, the maintenance man of cosmic renovation. The Godhead warhead unleashes annihilation, a fire machine scorched earth policy. It was a cleansing card, a reality check. He wondered how it weighed upon his marriage. Tined with cold and hot tap running weather, these monsoons and the so humid steam baths might somehow cleanse the dirt pores of his life. Darling, so we are apart for now, to start again with new leaves coming on the tree. You wanted me to go and do and be someone you could be proud of. But without you here or me returning, are we moving with one map? It's hard to see the way through mud and rain. It's hard to hold on to the hope we're still viable. I long for you each night and miss your neck, your arms, your legs. My hands are lost. I miss the nest where we end all our questioning and want to be at rest. Yogi. Yogi told just how things were. Margot, his darling other half, shouldn't feel he did not love her. Yes, he was her moon calf. Maybe he did not know himself. Words too often try to hide what should be simple, off the shelf, private and bona fide. If roads were blocked with mud and grime and kept him in this town, he would now write from time to time about what was going down. Sealing his letter, he went to Bardhai. Can you get this sent today? Bardhai took it. I will try, G. Then he locked it away. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress. For more of my work, check out chrismooneysing.com or check the program notes. Until next week.